Okay, good evening out there. I guess I'll just pray. Just Father, well, first I just want to say one thing before I pray, please. I didn't realize until this morning that halfway through this message or whatever it's going to be, it's going to get really, really personal. And I just ask for your patience as I bring my heart, what's on my mind. And it's really important to me, like vital. So I just ask if you would please have a little patience with me. Thank you. So Father, please, please bless this word tonight. Let me not only bring forth your heartbeat, Father, but my need as well. Just please let this all be your words, all be your heart, all be your thoughts, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason I say it's going to get personal is because at the end of this, I'm going to be asking for your help because I need your prayer. I'm going to need you to be my Michael tonight. I'll explain that to you a little bit later, maybe. And I hope I can go through all the sequence here. It's kind of complex, but one of the things that I've been doing is when I've been on outreach, I've been kind of playing that role of Ezekiel. And it says in Ezekiel 3:15 that, you know, the Lord brought him in the heat to the river Kabar, or Chabar, however you pronounce it. And he sat amongst the people for 7 days, and he was astonished at what he saw. I've kind of been like just pulling back a little bit when I've been on outreach and just kind of observing people and seeing what's going on. And I've been absolutely astonished. I mean, the deception that's out there, the crazy, ridiculous notions that are out there, the evil that's out there, and I've been astonished about this. I know it's my naivete, you know, this nobody from Nowheresville, New York, what do I know about the world? But it's been really astonishing me. And it's like, how do we reach these people? How do we reach these people? And I was just real quick, you know, and Pastor Schaller really drove this home when he was here. He was talking about America. You know, he started reading through Isaiah chapter 1 and just goes how, you know, and I won't, if you want to read it, I mean, it goes through the whole thing about how, you know, Israel had just completely departed from God. I mean, he says, I raised you up and now you've departed from me and you're a sinful nation. He said that could very easily be well said of America. And I thought to myself, well, how do we reach these people? How do we reach America? You know, because, and I talked to him after the Saturday breakfast, and I said, you know, you really touched my heart for America, what you spoke about. And he said, yeah, he said, pray for America. Pray for America. And I just really quickly want to go through a couple of examples that I thought to myself, there's many places in the Bible where people were just overwhelmed by God and turned in a very miraculous way. And I guess we'll start out, if you just quickly turn with me, and I know you know these passages, but just so we get an idea. I just want to turn to my notes here. I hope you don't mind. And the first one is in Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. And it says, you don't have to go there. I'll read it for you if you like. But it says, okay, here we go. And it says, above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a throne. As the appearance of a sapphire stone, upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness of the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as if it were the appearance of fire and had brightness round about. And the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud and the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Second example, in the book of Revelation. And I know I'm reading a lot here, please forgive me, but just so you get an idea, there's only four people I want to consider. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. This was John. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and set it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and Thyatira, unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow. His eyes were like flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell as his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Notice those two passages. They fell at his feet dead. And the third one is in Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne. His train filled the temple. And down to verse 3, And the one cried to another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and a people. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one more, if you'll permit me, in Daniel, chapter 10, verse 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with gold of Uphaz. And his body was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. His eyes were lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of the words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And A.W. Tozier had a very interesting comment about this in his book, Knowledge of the Holy. He said, these experiences show that a vision of the divine transcendence soon ends all controversy between the man and his God, and the fight goes out of the man, and he is ready with the conquered soul to ask meekly, Lord, what will you have me to do? And I was thinking to myself, these people that we see on the streets, these people across America, they're no different than these people. How do we bring them that vision of God where they will just fall on their faces and worship to him? And Friday night, Josh started a little cycle in my head, and it started a cycle that God had to deal with me with something. And he was saying, I don't know if you heard his testimony or not, but when he was in the hospital and they were putting his ankle back together and his all the bones were crunching and all, whatever that happens, you know, he was in a semi-conscious state because they had him so doped up. And he gave it the most amazing testimony I've ever heard, that when he was in that semi-conscious state, that the Holy Spirit inside him started to preach the gospel to the doctors without him even, you know, really even wanting to. And I'd never heard anything like that before. And I said, that is the most incredible supernatural thing I've heard of in a long time. And it started that this thought in me, like, yes, the Holy Spirit really is inside of us. And all he is looking to do is just to get us the heck out of the way so that he could preach to these people. And it brought me back to something I'd read in this. It's called The Release of the Spirit by Watchman Nee. This is a great book. Patrick and I spent many a night doing some phone fellowship reading through this book, and I can see why now, because God took me back to this book. And I know it's tough to listen when somebody reads a passage out of a book, but please, with the whole crux of the message is in this, and the whole crux of my prayer request for you is in this as well. So I'll try to be brief, but I just ask for your patience here. And it's about preaching the gospel. And it says, here is a common misconception. People think that they have belief in the gospel because they've either mentally been convinced of its doctrinal correctness or emotionally excited by its appeal. But in actual fact, those who respond to the gospel for either of these two reasons do not last long. Yes, the intellect and emotions need to be reached, but these alone are insufficient. Mind may reach mind, and emotions may reach emotions. But salvation probes much deeper than that. The divine spirit must touch the human spirit. Only when the spirit of the preacher shines and blossoms forth do sinners fall down and capitulate to God. This is the released spirit necessary for preaching the gospel. And this is a wonderful example. It was a miner, he says. I don't know if it's a coal miner or a gold miner, whatever it was. And it was a book written called Seen and Heard, in which he relates his experience in preaching the gospel. He says, we were deeply touched by reading this book, although just an ordinary brother, neither highly educated nor especially gifted, he offered himself wholly to the Lord and was mightily used. And I just remember that one thing that Dennis brought up. There was this one preacher, Dennis, maybe you can refresh my memory, that says the world has yet to see a man, what a man can be used to do, was wholly given over to the Holy Spirit. How was it? D.L. Moody, okay. And that just reminded me so much of this. This man was wholly given over. Thank you, Dennis. And it says the one thing that characterized him was that he was a broken man, allowing his spirit to emerge easily. While in a meeting and listening to a preacher, he was so burdened for souls that he asked the preacher for permission to speak. He went to the pulpit, but no words came. His inner man was so burning with a passion for souls that tears just gushed forth from him in torrents. And all he managed to utter just a few incoherent sentences. Yet God's spirit filled that meeting place, and people were convicted of their sins and their fallen condition. Here was a young man who was totally broken. He had few words, but when his spirit came forth, people were mightily moved. And reading his autobiography, we recognize that here was one whose spirit was wholly released. He was instrumental for saving many in his lifetime. And I love this next line, and he says, This is the way to preach the gospel. I said, wow. Please just bear with me here. And it says, whenever you see someone who is unsaved, you sense you should give them the gospel, but you must allow your spirit to be released. To preach the gospel is purely a matter of having the outward man broken. And that's what this is, the whole book is about, having this outer man broken so that the inward man can flow forth and touch others. When your spirit touches another spirit, God's spirit is actually flowing through the channel of your spirit. Consequently, the Holy Spirit quickens or enlivens the deadened spirit of sinners who are in darkness so that they may be wonderfully saved. However, if your spirit is obstructed by the outward man, God has no outlet in you, and the gospel is blocked. This is why we focus so much attention in this book on dealing with the outward man. If we lack that dealing, we are powerless to win souls, though we may have memorized all the doctrines. Salvation comes when our spirit touches another spirit. Then that soul cannot but prostrate himself at God's feet, just like all those examples we just went through. Oh, beloved, when our spirit is truly released, souls will surely be saved. And I love that principle. The Holy Spirit touching the spirit of an unsaved person. And I could go on and on about this, but I might as well get to the crux of the matter. This is the way I want to be. When I get up before a congregation or a body or any people, I want to be weeping for their souls. I mean, I want to be so broken that I don't care if I utter anything that's coherent. I want the Holy Spirit to just fall on those people so hard that they are convicted of their sins. You know, I don't care if I speak two sentences or not. You know, and I want that power. And I know, Dennis, you brought it out a couple of days ago in the book of Acts about John Wesley. He said when he preached, the same thing happened, that the Holy Spirit just fell on the congregation, fell on the people he was preaching to, and they were convicted. Well, I want to be like that. And you say, well, that's mighty arrogant, Mark. You want to be like the great men of God, John Wesley. Well, you know, there are no great men of God. There are no great women of God. They're just a bunch of pathetic people like us who can be used by the amazing and great God, right? Like Pastor Shallow was talking about on Saturday. We serve the greatest God, the God. And therein lies really the dilemma for me. And one thing that really stuck out in my mind about Pastor Gary Grenwald when he was here in that missions conference, and you ladies don't think you can't be used big, because one thing that Kathy Grenwald, Pastor Gary's wife, said in the rap, she asked Pastor Stevens one day, how do you carry such an anointing? And he looked at her and he said, I'm just available to God's availability to me. And you say, that's arrogant, Mark, to want to be like that. Is it when God is available to each and every single person to do that, to the people we care about, to this nation? We all have family, well, not all, but how many of us have family members that are unsaved? How many have neighbors that are unsaved? How many people across this nation are unsaved? I mean, I think about Ron and Michelle in the nursing home. And, you know, Pastor Moore and I go to the nursing home on Wednesday or Monday afternoons, too. These people, you know, any one of us could be on death's door right now, but these people are so close. Wouldn't it be beautiful to reach them in mass? You know, and I have a burning desire to preach. You know, I mean, that's what I dream about, preaching the gospel. You know, I mean, it's like, give me, anytime I see a crowd of people with a microphone, it's like, give me the microphone. I want to be up there. You know, we were over in Albany. I remember Dennis and I were watching this crowd over in Albany when we used to go to Washington Park, and there was this group out there that, like, were recovering drug addicts or something like that, and they were up there, and the guy would give the testimony, well, you know, this higher power, God, you know, he really helped me get out of it. And it's like, you know, I asked him, I said, well, is this Christian thing? He said, no, it's just one of those higher powers helped me. I wanted to go over there and say, let me tell you who that real higher power is. His name is Jesus Christ. And he can utterly and absolutely deliver you from everything. You know, there was another time where there was this gathering in front of the stage there over in Washington Park, and you know, and it's like, you know, and like it was like George Amador was there, you know, and bless George Amador. He's a good conservative guy, but he was just basically saying, well, this is great, you people. You're doing a great work. I don't want to hear that. Give me the microphone. Let me step up there and give them the gospel. Give them some, you know, let me give them the gospel. Pastor Scott, you know, he texted me, and I know we're not going to participate in Malta Day, but he texted me, you know, he said, Mark, would you be interested in running Malta Day? I don't know how to run the Keurig machine in the kitchen. You want me to run Malta Day? Give me a break. But you know, one thing I thought would be fun to do would be to go to Malta Day, and I'm sorry to do this because I'm probably going to be the one who has to clean it up, but I wanted to get on a table at Malta Day and just take a microphone in my hand and start preaching to everybody in Malta. That's what I had burned to do. I remember way back when we were doing the outreach in Mechanicville. We had the church plant. It was Mechanicville Day going on. And there were hundreds, maybe 1,000 people there. You know, there was tons of people there. And there was a secular band playing in this thing. And Taylor goes up to him and she asks him, do you think she's got her mandolin in her hand? And she says, do you think I could maybe play? And they actually agreed, you know, and I said, wow, and right after she's done, give me the microphone so I can preach to all these people. There's hundreds of people that are captive audience, and I wanted to do that. You know, Pastor Handel said, you know, we really don't have a permit. Maybe we shouldn't really do that. And we said, okay, well, I'll do it. And anyway, you know, they booted us out of Mechanicville anyway. You know, I mean, I thought to myself, now, since they booted us out anyway, we should have gone out with both guns blazing anyway. We should have been preaching anyway, but, you know, whatever. Okay. There's two footprints on the table. All right. And the fact of the matter is, like it goes on to say there, if your outward man is not broken, you're stymied. And that's why I'm asking for prayer for you tonight, because I have this burning hunger in my heart to preach the gospel, and I know I want to. You know, like I say, all those, you don't have that burning in you just because coincidence. And I know God wants me to. I know that's his call in my life. I remember standing in almost in this very spot one Sunday morning. It was like almost 10 o'clock. And, you know, I know we're all on greater grace time, especially me. Goodness gracious, Father, I repent. And there was like maybe a quarter of the body, the quarter of the people were in this church, and I said to myself, you know, Father, there should be more people here to hear this message. It's going to be preached this morning. And he said, well, go get them. And I want to. And I'm stymied because my outer man is not broken. And what really also hurts, too, is not only can I not reach the people out there like the way I want to? And Dennis brought this up. I know we're going to go a little bit over time, but Dennis brought this up in Ezekiel 33, correlated a passage out of Acts, talking about that we need to reach the lost. If we go out there and we preach the gospel to them and they repent and turn, hallelujah, that's the best scenario. If we go out there when we preach to them and they don't turn, that's tragic, but that's, the blood is on their hands. And then he said, but if we don't go out there and preach and they don't turn, then the blood is on our hands. And I don't want blood on my hands. I got enough problems without that. Not really, but you know what I mean. Flipped a page over to Ezekiel 34. And it talks about when God was prophesying against the shepherds in Israel. And he was saying, I got something against you guys. You're not going out there and winning the lost. You're not healing the sick in your congregation. You're not binding up their wounds. You're not delivering them from their bondages. And he says, I got something against you. And he says, if you don't do it, I'm going to go out there and do it myself. And that's what also kills me. I can't serve you the way I want to. This is my body. This is my family now, and I can't serve you the way I want to either. I mean, I'm not the chief shepherd here, but I can't serve you the way I want to. And it's killing me. And if you don't think it's real, it's real. Because later on in this book, he goes on to say, Father, maybe what we need to do is just come before you and bow our heads before you and say, Father, I've blocked you. I've blocked your work in the church, and I've blocked your work in people's lives. And that's basically where I am at this point. I have stuffed God up. I've stuffed up his work because I'm just not broken enough to be able to pour that Holy Spirit in me out to people out there. And it's real. Because I saw these amazing examples, like Stephen. He was full of faith and amazing. He just, you know, maybe because he was a deacon and I'm kind of a deacon in training, it's like, you know, God, I would love to be like that. I would love to be like the John Wesleys. I mean, I dream of going up to Saratoga and going into the bars and having the Holy Spirit fall on the whole bar and have people come out instead of drinking themselves to death. You know, let them know about that. That's what I crave. And it's real. Because I said, God, I want to see you do that. I want to see you be omnipotent. And he said to me, I am, but you won't let me. That's kind of tough to hear that. And that's why I come before you all tonight, because I think this is like a spiritual war going on in my life. You go back to Daniel chapter 10. He was on his face for 3 weeks, praying, fasting, crying out to God. I prayed. I fasted. I've been on my face crying out to God to just break me so I can pour out my spirit to all you, to everybody out there. And the answer hasn't come. Gabriel evidently is getting held up by the Prince of Persia right now. And that's why I'm asking for your prayer, because I need Michael, you all, to come in and give me the deliverance. And I understand why that's so important now, because all of my life I have been a loner. I've always tried to do everything on my own. I'm all of a sudden realizing, and a lot of people have been communicating this to me, I'm part of a body now. I am part of the body of Christ, and I need you. Just like the foot needs the hand and the eye needs the ears, I need you. I can't deliver myself. I have prayed, fasted, and cried out to God. I can't deliver myself. I need you. I need you to help me. And that's why God is, like I say, I didn't realize until this morning that that's what this whole message was going to be about. And he took me to James 5:14, I guess it is. It says, is any of you sick? Let him call for the elders and anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Well, in a certain way, this boy's sick. And he needs you to pray. And I'm going to call. I know there's not a whole lot of elders here tonight, just Pastor Moore and Ron and but I know we got a lot of wonderful men and women of God here. And I'm going to ask you to please come up and pray for me. I know it's not the usual, but I don't care, because I need to be released from this. So I want to be out there. So I really, you know, Pastor Stevens talked about faith fields. And I'm just really going to ask you before we start in corporate prayer, would you, I know this is a little out of the ordinary, would you please just all come up here? You know, Ron, Pastor Moore, would you please? I just really would ask that you would please come up here, lay hands on me and pray for me. And everybody, please, because I need you. Yeah, please, come on up. I want everybody up here. This is not just about the elders. Please, I want everybody. Even Rob, who's trying to stretch himself out, really.
Well, Father, you said that a broken heart and a broken spirit you won't despise, Lord, that you see the brokenness in Mark. Father, and all of us need the brokenness, the sacrifices of honesty before you and our need for you. But Lord, Mark has requested for this prayer, so all of us, we're asking you together with Mark, Lord, that you would give him a sense of your love, of your holiness, of your imputed righteousness that none of us can deserve, but you give it to us freely through the blood of Christ, Lord, that you, Jesus, just as you took our sin, you gave us your righteousness so we can stand before our Father with your righteousness, that we will see one day with a robe of righteousness, a white robe. But Lord, until then, Lord, help us to walk by faith. Lord, help us to believe the truth that you have imputed divine righteousness to us, and that you've imputed it to Mark, and that he can trust in it and know that you have given this as a gift. And whether anyone else can see it or not, you have given it. And one day we'll all see it. And we'll see it not only in Mark, but in all of our lives. Your holiness given to us as a gift. The very gift of the life of Christ, which is holy, and it is ours. Because we believe. We believe. Thank you, Lord. Give him such a deep sense of this imputed righteousness that keeps him humble, keeps him in awe, keeps him thankful, Lord, and gives him holy boldness. Lord, he desires to shout it out, to preach, as, Father, many of us have desired to preach and have people listen. And, Lord, whether it's a crowd or whether it's one at a time, as you give us opportunity, help us, Lord, to open our mouth and to speak. Because we believe, therefore we speak. Anoint us, Lord, as we live, as we love, and as we speak the truth in love to those around us, those that need your Savior, our Savior, your Son, that need your righteousness, need forgiveness. They don't know it, Lord. Many of them don't know it. Some of them have a sense of it, and yet they're seeking, but Lord, help us to do our part so they can seek you and find you while you may be found. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. I'm going to anoint you with this oil, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, more than you need. And that's the grace of God. He gives us more than we need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. You guys are precious to me. Thank you.
Amen.
As are you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Well, we have about 10 or 15 minutes left of childcare for those that would like to stay and pray. If you've got to go, thank you for coming. We have MJ with us for just about 2 weeks. She's